Well, today's a day like no other. Hello, and no matter what season of life you are in, there is hope. Welcome to our daily broadcast, Hope for Your Heart. At this time, I would like to introduce Senior Pastor Calvin Corbett from Hickory Ridge Community Church in Chesapeake, Virginia, who has an encouraging message just for you.
Good day. Welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett with Hickory Ridge Community Church, and I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. Today is December 25th, and we are celebrating the birth of Christ, and I am so excited. Christmas is my favorite holiday of the year, followed with Easter, and so today's broadcast is going to be a little bit different in that I'm going to be sharing some Christmas memories. And so what I did is I went to my congregation, and I went to the men at Indian Creek Correctional Center, and I said, would you guys, and then some of the staff at our school, and I said, would you guys write down for me some of your most fond memories of Christmas? And so it's going to be a series of other people that have contributed today to the broadcast, and I'm just going to share some of their memories with you and hope that it will really encourage you today on this Christmas day. And I know you're probably with your family and enjoying this day, and I want to wish you a very blessed Christmas, and I wanted to wish you a very happy New Year. But here is what one guy wrote, Ron. And Ron said, in 1996, I was forced to pack up and move out with my pregnant wife and daughter 3 days before Christmas. We were over 1,500 miles from our home state, had very little money. We packed up our meager belongings in the back of my truck, and we drove cautiously and on down the road for the next 31 hours. We had been gone for about 4 years from our family, and we showed up unannounced on Christmas night on my dad's front doorstep. My mom actually answered the door and almost fainted. None of us will ever forget the joy and the tears and the hope that we shared that year. Praise God. Isn't Christmas such a fun time of the year? It ought to be a time of reconciliation. And I know for some people, Christmas is not so much of a fun time because it brings back unfond memories. I think about the men who are incarcerated. And maybe this Christmas time, you can write a little note or a card to the men. And I gave out over 2,000 cards for Christmas this year to the men that they could pass on to their family. But they have an opportunity to be alone, unfortunately. And many of them don't get visitors on Christmas Day. And so reach out and be a blessing to somebody. Here's another Christmas memory that was turned in. And Christmas Day and Christmas time means pageants and all the children singing, all of the best food afterwards, and lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. The children are nice and they get candy and they're always full of fun and energy. I loved growing up at Christmas time with all of the good treats that I enjoyed. Another one wrote, there was a Christmas time, my most memorable Christmas was in 1967. Dad was in the Air Force and was at war and was helping me and my brothers, and we wanted bicycles for Christmas, and we didn't think we were going to get them because he wasn't home. But we woke up that morning, and lo and behold, we found ourselves with these gifts under the Christmas tree, and the bike was under there, a brand new Swin bike, a 5-speed with a high bar on it, and that made this man's Christmas. My first Christmas with Jesus was in 1986, he says. That was greater. That was the best Christmas of all. It was even better than being my own family. And so thank you, Anthony, for sharing that. And I remember one Christmas, I received a brand new 12-speed bike. And I was so happy to get that bike. And, you know, being up in New England, oftentimes we have snowstorms. And this particular Christmas morning, we had a little bit of snow the night before. Not a whole lot, but just a little dusting of snow. And the street was kind of iced over. And I remember getting that brand new bike, and my dad wanted to take it for a spin. And I said, sure, Dad, you can take my bike for a spin. And he went down the cul-de-sac and turned and came back. And somewhere along his journey, he wiped out and mangled up my new 12-speed bike. And I remember I was a little disappointed with that. But then I got thinking, how could I be disappointed? Here's a man that gave me this gift, and he didn't mean to mess it up, but it got messed up. Isn't that kind of how life is? I don't think we decide to mess up people, but sometimes we do. And so Christmas is a time of forgiveness. Somebody else wrote that when I was 13, I got my first drum set for Christmas. That made that person's Christmas. Here is a man named Dale who says, my Christmas memory is this. It says, my parents divorced when I was 6 years old. I have very few memories of my entire immediate family. That is my mother and my father and my younger brother. Altogether, the few memories I do have are very faint, except for this one. We had a small fireplace in our row home. We would occasionally move a small sofa in front of the fireplace and just sit together as a family. I would have the most vivid memory of that fire burning on Christmas Eve, and my mother and my father and my brother on that sofa. It was perfect. My father would read us the story of Christmas as my brother and I would sit on our parents' laps. I love Christmas because it brings me back to that moment. That last time I remember all of us together. Well, maybe Christmas is a sad time for you, and maybe this is your first Christmas without a loved one. I know we have several people in our church, and this is going to be their very first Christmas without a loved one. And so we want to pray for them. As a matter of fact, I'm going to pause just a moment in the middle of our broadcast and just pray for those who maybe this Christmas is kind of a hard time for them. There's something about praying for people that brings a connection. And so, Father God, we come before you today, and we want to lift up those who are going through this most memorable day, Christmas Day, and they are going through this day without a loved one. And so I pray, Lord, that you will comfort them, that you will allow them to have that void in their life filled with the joy of this season. I pray that they'll live on with the positive memories that they had of that person they love. I pray that they will be where they need to be spiritually so that one day they can spend eternity with that loved one who has gone on before. Lord, we thank you that it is Christmas time, that Christmas can bring about healing, Christmas can bring about reconciliation. So I pray for those families who will be gathered together on this Christmas Day, and as they're gathered together on this Christmas Day, I pray that they will see families come together, a sense of reconciliation, a sense of joy within that family. May they enjoy the fellowship of one another. And Lord, we're going to give you the glory for that. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here's another Christmas memory. And this says, my favorite Christmas memory comes from Washington, D.C. I was homeless, unfortunately, and I became very complaining. Virtually every year I was growing up, I would collect blankets and I would take them out to the fields of the neighbors, but this Christmas, I find myself homeless. I was so discouraged. Then somebody came along and brought me some blankets. I took those blankets and began to pass those on to other people. I realized that I could be full of appreciation. Even though I was homeless during Christmas, I still received joy and I still received presents from complete strangers. What a blessing it was to get a gift and also to pass that gift along. Maybe this Christmas season you find yourself a little bit short on some things. Maybe you are like this individual who spent one Christmas homeless. I pray for you, and I pray that God will supply all of your needs. Here's another Christmas memory, Christmas 1973. One of my best Christmas memories was Christmas of 1973. My older brother was ringing the jingle bells outside of the living room window on Christmas Eve night, and he was playing it to me. My brother really believed it was Santa that was coming by. It was flying over the sky. My older brother, unfortunately, drowned that next summer, the summer of 1974. But I'll always remember that Christmas before he passed away. This person continues on. Now that I'm grown up, I love seeing my boys that also are grown up now get up and seeing what Santa and Mom and Dad has left under the Christmas tree. I love the excitement that I see upon their faces, how they see that Santa was very hungry that night before, and he came and ate all of the cookies that they had left out for him that night. My brother always brings gifts for me and my dogs on Christmas. He works for a pet supply store, and so that is part of my fond memories of Christmas. My mother always is so happy to have us, and she always makes a big breakfast for us on Christmas Day, and then we have a big lunch together on Christmas Day. Our stockings are always stuffed with goodies and always a beautiful tree. Eating up and getting up with my grandparents also was a fun time. One Christmas, we had five generations gathered around our Christmas tree. Grandma, my mom, my sister, her daughter, my niece, and her daughter, my great niece, all gathered together for Christmas. That was a time of great joy. Well, maybe this Christmas you may feel like you're forgotten. Maybe you have some regret in your life. Maybe as you're looking in your life, you've regressed in some areas. And as you look at Christmas and you look at this season, you say, man, I don't have a whole lot of things to be happy with. I think about the story of Elizabeth. Elizabeth went through some hardships, and Elizabeth was the mother of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, as you know, was the forerunner of Christ, and John the Baptist had one of those ministries that I would not want to have the ministry that John the Baptist had. I mean, can you imagine being in his position? I mean, you're a man that is living out in the wilderness, and you eat wild locusts and honey, and you look like a vagabond. You have taken the Nazirite vow, so that means you can't touch any dead person or any dead animal. Because of this Nazirite vow, you've never consumed alcohol, and you wear these crazy clothes, and you have one mission in life. And that mission is to tell everybody to prepare for the coming of Christ. That's your purpose. John the Baptist was born, and Elizabeth, his mother, has some insight as to what his life was going to be all about. We watched a video in our small group last night that depicted part of the life of John the Baptist and his mom, Elizabeth. And one of the things that kind of stuck out in my mind as we watched this video was Elizabeth said, "The world is not very good to prophets." And you think about that. The world is not very good to those who point out the wrong in a society. But how necessary are the prophets? Those voices that will cry out into the darkness, those voices that will cry out in the wilderness and cry and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." As I think about the ministry of John the Baptist, I think about a man who was willing to sacrifice himself. When you think about his family, though, they paid a great price. In Luke 1:25, it says, "This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked upon me with favor to take away my disgrace among men." That is Elizabeth talking about God taking the disgrace from her among men. And today we look at Elizabeth and we praise her for giving birth to John the Baptist. Maybe you're feeling a little bit disgraced today. As you look at the life of Elizabeth, maybe there's some things that we can learn from her on this Christmas day. We learn, first of all, that Zacharias and Elizabeth, they lived honorably before God. They were careful in keeping the commandments and enjoying a clear conscience before God. We learn that in Luke 1:6. They clearly kept God's commands. They realized that they had to respect what God was doing in their lives, and they realized that when bad things came, God didn't do it to frustrate them. God does these things to motivate us. And if we can live an honorable way, God will indeed honor us. We also learn from Elizabeth and Zacharias that they were hopeful. They never lost their hope. We call this broadcast Hope for Your Heart. The Bible says that we should guard our hearts above everything else because out of it are the issues of life. Read in Luke 1:7, and this is the New Living Translation, that Elizabeth and Zacharias, they had no children. Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. But the Bible tells us that an angel said to Zechariah, "Don't be afraid. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give birth to a son, and you will name him John." I am so glad that God does the miraculous. We see the miraculous birth of Jesus to the Virgin Mary, and we see the miraculous birth of John the Baptist to a couple who is old. In my small group last night, we're praying for one of the family members of our group, and this couple has been trying to have a baby, and trying for a long time to have a baby, and they've tried in vitro fertilization, and they thought they were pregnant, and then the pregnancy unfortunately passed, and so they're going to try again, and they're praying, and we're praying fervently for them. There's something miraculous about a birth. There's something miraculous about being hopeful, even when it seems like everything is against us. We are told in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we ought to trust the Lord with all of our hearts. Don't depend upon your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And the New International Version says that he will make your path straight. I also want you to know this Christmas day that sometimes God takes hardships and he turns them into an advantage. In Romans chapter 5, we read these words, "We all gladly suffer because we know that suffering helps us to endure." And endurance builds character and gives us hope that will never disappoint us. All of this happens because God has given us the Holy Spirit who fills our hearts with love. I am so excited whenever I see a difficulty come my way. Calvin Coolidge said this about problems. He says, you know, anytime you see a problem coming down the road, don't worry about it. Just pray about it. And as those problems come closer and closer to you, nine of those problems are going to fall into the ditch, and they're not even going to affect you at all. And that one problem that finally gets to you, by the time it gets to you, you'll be able to handle it. Don't worry about the hardships that come your way. God has a way of taking care of those, if we will trust Him. I think about the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He begs of the Lord to release him of a thorn in his flesh. And he said, Lord, would you please take this problem away from me? But God said to him, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Hey, can I say that to you today? John, God's grace is sufficient for you. Hey, Mary, God's grace is sufficient for you. When you're weak, His power is made perfect in you. So Paul says, I am so happy to brag about my weakness because then Christ's power can live within me. Isn't it amazing that Paul says we brag about our weaknesses? Don't we tend to do just the opposite? We learn in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that God can wonderfully comfort us and strengthen us in our hardships and in our trials. Somebody put it this way, if I never had a problem, I never knew He could solve them. Trials have a way of bringing us into God's comfort. And why does He do this? So that when we are troubled, and this is straight from God's word, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, when we are troubled, we get sympathy, encouragement from the Holy Spirit, and then we're able to pass that on and help and comfort others. Has it ever occurred to you that maybe what you're going through today, on this Christmas day, is not what you expected? You may not have it all figured out, but I want you to know that God will be there with you, and He will comfort you as only He can comfort you. And He will ask you to pass that on to somebody else. We learn also from the story of Elizabeth that she expected the unexpected. This is how the Message puts Luke 1:25, and this is what Elizabeth is saying. So this is how God acts to remedy my unfortunate condition. And we see the rest of the story as it's laid out in Luke chapter 1. His birth will make you very happy, and many people will be glad, referring to John the Baptist. Your son will be a great servant of the Lord. He must never drink wine or beer, and the power of the Holy Spirit will be with him from the time that he is born. John will lead many people in Israel to turn back to the Lord, their God. He will go ahead of the Lord with the same power and the spirit that Elijah had. And because of John, parents will be more thoughtful of their children, and people who now disobey God will begin to think as they ought to. This is how John will get people ready for the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful passage of scripture? Has it ever occurred to you that maybe God is using you to bless others, to prepare them to make a way for God in their lives? In Ephesians chapter 3, we learn that God can do anything, you know. He can do more than you can ever imagine. He can do more than you can ever guess. And He will exceed your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. His Spirit deeply and gently works within us. And then Luke 1:37 says, nothing is impossible with God. And I love that fact that God can take our lives, whom we may think we're filled with impossibilities, and He can turn it all around. You know, God always comes through at just the right moment. In this Christmas season, I want to close by sharing one of my favorite personal Christmas stories. And it happened many, many years ago. And I was just 16 years old, and I was just got my driver's license. And I was one of those guys that the day I turned 16 is the day that I was down at DMV getting my driver's license, and I could not wait to drive. I had a grandmother, and she taught me to drive, and we drove all around her little town. I started driving in the little town of Wilmington, Massachusetts, when I was about 13 or 14 years old. And I would tell my grandmother, I said, now listen, this is illegal. I don't have a driver's license. And she always would tell me, well, don't worry. I know the sheriff, and if you're with me, it's okay. And so I started driving around illegally in the town of Wilmington, and my grandmother taught me how to drive. Well, I turned 16, I finally got my driver's license, and I had put some money together, and I had bought a little Datsun truck, a little Nissan King Cab pickup truck, and it was a 1977 baby blue pickup truck, and I was so proud of that thing. I got it just a few days before Christmas, and so we all gathered together as a family, as our tradition was. We'd always go to church on Christmas Eve with my grandmother and my aunt. We always get to their church, and we always enjoyed that service, and then we'd always go back to my aunt's house and have a meal together, and we always got to open one present on Christmas Eve. Well, this particular Christmas Eve, my grandmother says, well, you got your license now. Let's go for a little drive after the Christmas Eve service. And so I said, sure, let's go for a ride. I was happy to chauffeur her around, and we got driving around, and that particular Christmas Eve, fog came in. And I remember we were driving along, and I got lost. And this is a day before GPS, right? This is back in the mid-80s. And I'm driving around, and I'm looking over at my grandmother, and I says, hey, Graham, do you know where we are? She says, no, I don't know where we are. And we just started driving and driving, and she kept looking over at the dashboard. She says, well, you don't have much gas left. And we were sitting on the E, and we were completely lost on Christmas Eve. And I remember in that car, and I says, Graham, we got to do something. And she says, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray you don't run out of gas, and I'm going to pray we can find our way home. Well, we drove around for a couple hours, and I have never seen a truck drive on E for a couple hours, but that truck drove on E for a couple hours that Christmas Eve. And when we finally got home, everybody's like, where are you guys? I said, we got lost. We got lost driving around. We ended up out at Cape Cod somewhere and come on back into Wilmington, finally found our way home. As I think about that memory of that Christmas Eve, God supplied our needs. In our ignorance, He took care of us. What a mighty God we serve. I want you to know that there's no problem in your life that is too great for God. I know sometimes we can get discouraged and we think, man, we're overwhelmed by circumstances, but our God is able to supply all of our needs. God came through for the life of Zacharias and the life of Elizabeth. They wanted to have a baby, and God blessed them with that baby. And God will do the very same thing for you. I want you to know that this Christmas season, there are so many reasons to be joyful as we start the new year. And as we begin a new year, I want to encourage you to have some goals and some objectives. One of the things I'm leading our church to do in the new year is to look at one person that they can share the good news of Christ with. Share the light with somebody. I ran into somebody just the other day, and as I struck up this conversation with them, it was an opportunity for me to share some blessings in their lives and to remind them of a few things that God did in their lives. So many times we need to remind one another of the good things that God has done for us. David said, I would have given up in despair if I had not seen the hand of God in the land of the living. We had the opportunity this year to be in the Great Bridge Parade. And what a joy that was. First time our church was in the parade, and first time that we had the Awana children on the float with us. And we gave out these little cups, little plastic cups that had the name of our church on it, Hickory Ridge Community Church and Academy. And we had 1,000 of these cups, and we quickly ran out, and we said, next year we're going to have to get about 5,000 of those cups because within just a short distance in this parade, we ran out of cups. It was such a joyous experience to be out there singing Christmas carols and to be out there telling people of the good news of Christ. Just joy on our face. You know, an amazing thing happened because of that Christmas parade? Those little plastic cups, just a couple days after we had that parade, somebody called the church and said, hey, I see you have an academy here. I see you have a school here, and I want to enroll 2 of my children in your early learning center and in your academy. You see, you never know how God will use little random acts of kindness to be a blessing to others. Little things. Sometimes we don't even think about the little things. When you go out to eat as you celebrate this Christmas season, why don't you spend a moment and ask that waitress just before she brings you food and as she takes your order, why don't you ask her if there's anything that you can pray for her about? I promise you that if you do it in the right way, in the right manner, she's going to ask you to pray about something in her life. You'll have that opportunity to bless her and to encourage her. Oftentimes when I do that, people will share with me more information than I really want to know, but it gives me an opportunity to pray for one another. When you fervently pray for somebody, it really shows that you love them and that you care for them. There is power in prayer. There is power in lifting up one another. So this Christmas season, would you spend just a few minutes looking out as an opportunity to thank God for the many, many blessings that you have been given and bless somebody this Christmas season? So, Lord, as we conclude our broadcast today, what a joy it has been to celebrate this time of the year where we think about the birth of Christ. And, Lord, we don't want to leave Jesus in a manger because he grew to become a man, and then he was put on that cross. He died for our sins, but we don't want to leave him on that cross because then he was put in that tomb, but then 3 days later he rose again. But we don't even want to leave him there at the resurrection because one day he's coming again. And we are looking forward to that day. And until that comes, Lord, help us to be your vessels of honor that are sharing the message of hope and reconciliation to our world. May we be a blessing to somebody today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We'd love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.